Here we are to number 73 in our series of religion or Christianity, calling this one Perseverance of the Saints. Before we get going, let's take a moment of silent prayer to God gives us the opportunity to refresh our fellowship with Him on a daily basis, and we do that by confession of sin. We confess He forgives and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and that allows us to grow in His Word and glorify Him. So let's take a moment, and we'll pray, and we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are thankful to be here on this Wednesday night. We know that You're in complete and total control, and we rest in that fact, and also realize that tonight is a time for us to learn more and more about You so we can become more like You. We thank You for the completed Word that You've given us. Thank You for the testimony that You have for us and for our life, and we just thank You for everything that You do, and ask tonight for concentration and calmness, and able to receive the Word. We thank You so much and ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are to number 73, and we left off with probably what I think is maybe the most important Bible verse as far as Christianity is concerned, and that is Luke 22:41, and I'll just read it. And this is Jesus Christ when He was with His disciples just before He got arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He went off by Himself, and it says, and He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and He knelt down and began to pray. Verse 42, saying, Father, if You are willing, remove this cup from Me, yet not My will, but Yours be done. And we talked pretty extensively on this, and you probably remember that He wanted to remove the cup that the Father had placed on His plate, which was the mission that He was on, to die on the cross for our sins. Now, the word remove here does mean to take something away. That's exactly what He wanted to do. He wanted to have the Father take the burden of the mission away, exactly what it's referring to. It was overwhelming at this point in the narrative, and Jesus was feeling the suffering that He was doing because He was in the pressurized moment, and it was really squeezing Him. You can tell just by this phrase right here. So, and as I mentioned on Sunday, we have all thought this way. Even though our cup is not as heavy and full as Jesus's cup, we've all had the same type of thoughts come through our mind. And the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because the idea behind this is not the fact that you cannot handle or think that you can't handle whatever mission or accomplishment that God wants you to do in life, but the reality is we can see the example of going to the Father and asking the Father first before taking matters into our own hands. You know, I realize the pressure of the test can make us want to get out of the pressure, right? The pressure can be overwhelming at times, and getting out can look very attractive to you, and it did to Jesus as well. When you look forward and when you're in that pressure, relieving the pressure is one of the things that we look to, and there's no doubt that there's nothing wrong with that, but it does signify the weakness of the human limited body that we're in. But that's by design, right? And we saw that Satan was offering these options to Jesus just to get Him out faster, or to give Him a different option to remove the cup. It is essentially what Satan was offering Jesus. And we saw that Jesus did not accept the cup to be removed. He continued on His mission just as we are to do. So But I would also say about this phrase, most people don't make it this far in the Christian life. This is, I would consider, an advancing believer who understands their mission, who has been growing, receiving the word, understands that it's not all a cakewalk, understands that there is pain, suffering involved in God's plan for your life, understands that blessings are found and revealed within suffering. All these things we have to learn and begin to understand. And at that point, it becomes your calling that you are responding to, which is exactly what Jesus Christ is doing. He's responding to the call that has been placed on him by God the Father, which is to come and pay the ultimate sacrifice for our sins on the cross. So I think the fact that you're here says a lot. Because the reason why I say that, because we don't want to commit spiritual suicide by giving up or removing the cup prematurely than what we should. And so many people do that, but this is something that we'll definitely be sorry about later, as we'll see in some verses that we're looking at tonight. Not to mention the greatness that comes from persevering in the Christian life. There's something to say about perseverance. And there's a reason I titled this lesson Perseverance of the Saints, because that is a real thing. But you can know from the title that perseverance is something that is only legitimate to a saint, which means someone that is already saved. And what we'll see here is what I want to look at specifically tonight is, not only is that what Jesus is doing, but that's what we're all called to do. You know, perseverance is a very big topic in the life of the believer or in any Christian that has any desire to grow. Perseverance is the next step once you begin to wake up and begin to separate yourself from the world. You start to have to step into some type of endurance. There is a definite endurance that comes with being a Christian. And, you know, I think that's where the word perseverance comes from, really. And it defines a Christian who is doing the will of God, living it out, receiving it, learning about it, and living it out. Not only that, though, but not removing that cup that God has placed in their life, right, on the call that they have. And that's a big part of persevering, because that's just exactly what Jesus did, and we can see that example here. And there's so many passages about perseverance. And that's what I wanted to do, was just take a look at some of these passages, because they're so important, because Christ is the example of perseverance, persevering correctly. And if we're called to do the same thing, let's take a look at what it means and why we're called to do it. So the first passage I have up here is Galatians 6:9. It says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not give up." If we do not give up. So right here you see to not lose heart. This is referring to not losing your motivation. Not losing your motivation. You know, sometimes it can be hard to maintain a motivation in the spiritual life. There's a reason why this passage is saying, and I think encouraging us, to not lose heart in doing what you're doing. It can be monotonous. It can be overwhelming at times. It can feel like a waste of time at times to be on this track and to be on this the road that you're on of living the Christian life. And, you know, the word itself means, not lose heart means to lose one's motivation in continuing in a desirable pattern. That's exactly what this means. Or to become discouraged or lose heart, as the passage is saying. So the kind of good here is the kind that shows on the outside, and what it's referring to is the entire outlook of doing good. In other words, you're living the Christian life. Inwardly, outwardly, the entire picture is in view here. It's saying don't lose heart in setting that example of being a Christian, of shining your light in the world, and going against the grain of what the world tells you is right. Because remember, we're called to be set apart. And that perseverance comes when you have decided that, yes, this is what I'm called to do, and yes, I'm going to keep doing this. Well, at some point, you're going to have to begin to persevere if you want to keep moving in that direction. So we do need this, because at times we do feel like we will lose heart. So it's saying, let us not lose heart in doing good. And this is honorable, right? This is something that's honorable, because if you're setting the example in doing good, and that means an outwardly good and an inwardly good, you're genuinely a Christian inside and out. That's the example that we need in this world today. We have a bunch of Christians who are Christians on the outside, but not necessarily Christians on the inside. So there's a huge movement that has separated from the church just because of that reason. So if there's ever a time that we need genuine Christians, it's right now. And so we do need to see this, but to live in the way that a maturing Christian should live takes a few things. It takes persistence, which you're all here learning and growing. I could say that said something about being persistent, right? And what this verse is saying is to not lose heart, because it's something that we have to manage. In that persistence and in that consistency, you have to manage not losing your motivation as far as living and breathing on this earth and doing what is good, right, and acceptable before God. There is a component of this that kind of sucks the life out of you, right? And that's part of living in a human body with a sin nature. You can see it in Jesus Christ, and He didn't even have a sin nature. The human body is not built for the things that you go through without God. And we can see that in people who cannot handle the stress, who cannot handle the problems of life, who look to other things for all the solutions, and none of them work. And we've seen examples of that. But you will often question yourself. You will question God. You will question your motivation. You will question many things about the Word. You will question your own due diligence, your own consistency, your own integrity. There's so many things that we question. And so when this passage says, do not lose heart in doing good, it should make perfect sense to you of why it's telling us that, why it even mentions it. Because we have a tendency to lose sight of the motivation that we have when we get our eyes off the Lord. So that's a key point in this. But we have to always keep in mind that what you have embarked on as a believer in Jesus Christ is much bigger than yourself. It's much bigger than ourselves. And I think that's part of realizing the fact that we can't lose heart. And I say it like that because, you know, there's a much bigger picture happening here than just ourselves. You know, we can go into a lot of things just thinking about ourselves and kind of do what we want to do. And maybe other people aren't affected, but maybe they are. And in this instance, I'm telling you that Jesus Christ didn't do what He wanted to do because there was a much bigger picture. It's no different for your spiritual life and for you living as a Christian. No, we're not dying on the cross for salvation, but we're in a dying world, in an evil world, and we're in a fight. This is a battle, right? We are to live as unto the Lord for a reason, because we're in a spiritual battle, spiritual warfare right now. And God is the one who has won the battle, but at the same time, you're the evidence of Him winning the battle. You're the evidence. That evidence comes out when you shine the light that you have within your soul to the world that we live in the darkness, right? So don't think that just because we're doing this that we can't somehow lose motivation or question the things that this verse is talking about. And I will tell you that your motivation can only come from Jesus Christ. It can only come from His Word that we learn each and every time we show up to this class. It can only come from the way He thinks, which is the way you are called to think. That's the only way you're going to be motivated to move forward, which is His Word, right? And so, and we always have that. We always have that at our fingertips. Think about this. This is something that we need. It's something that is accessible. It's something that God has provided, and it's something that works. I mean, what more do we need? We don't need anything. What more do we want that's even better? There's nothing that is better, right? So we have the things that we need, but look at what Christ was doing and see that He was also suffering, but His mission was certainly not about Himself. It wasn't about His own personal will. Otherwise, He would have turned the stones into bread just like that. And see, we as Christians can look to turn stones into bread, if you know what I mean, by getting off course and losing heart, and then all of a sudden now you're off mission. You're not in the mission. You're not necessarily glorifying God for whatever reason. Sometimes we step off on the sidelines and take a break. So, but at least we understand that we have available what we need. Which is why Jesus Christ was able to maintain His course that led Him to the cross. And this is really what this is. It's a course. It's a path that you're going down. But as we'll see, it's not always the easiest thing to maintain course, to maintain the walk or the run or the sprint. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get tired, right? So, and up to this point, you know, we've studied many Christian life verses that show us why we're doing what we're doing and also how to do it, because God never leaves us in the dark as far as the how, right? He gives us the what and He gives us the how. And we just saw Jesus, how He clearly recognized His purpose here and that it was not for Himself, but for the Father. It was for the Father. We have that example for a very specific reason, so we can look at our situation and see that there's a very close similarity to what Jesus did and what you're doing on this earth. Very, very similar and very, very close. And what Jesus was doing was reconciling the world back to God. He was reconciling people back to God. He understood that. He knew it. And that's what allowed Him to stay on course. Not only that, but He was guided by God, the Holy Spirit. Remember that. He had the power and the guidance of God, the Holy Spirit. And that's why He said what He did in that verse. He said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Because reconciliation of a separated human race from God is a big mission. Is a big mission. But He understood that that's what He was called to do. And know for absolute certainty that each and every person, each and every Christian who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has been called to do a very specific mission. And so I think the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we see that, the sooner we begin to get comfortable in the driver's seat of that mission. That's just the reality of how things unfold in God's plan. So, and I think that will allow you to move in that direction despite being discouraged, despite all the questioning yourself, because you will encounter discouragement. There's no doubt about it. You will encounter discouragement. And this is sometimes something that we can easily let slip through the cracks, you know, doing the will of God and being discouraged along the way. Sometimes if you don't zero it out and realize what it's doing and what it's doing to you, it can become a problem. We all get discouraged, but how far do we take it and do we allow it to be a problem, right? Maybe not. It's an individual thing and it happens differently in each person's life. But instead of doing the will of God, it's very common for people to look for the quickest results. Remember, we talked about that. Look for the quickest results. Perseverance is not necessarily quick. It's not necessarily fast. It doesn't necessarily look for the fastest result. But what it does is it's very patient in waiting on God's timing. And so we can't look to turn stones into bread or look to human solutions to solve our problems. We have to begin to focus on the divine and the spiritual realm, specifically God the Holy Spirit and the power that we're given to do whatever He wants us and has us here to do. Persevering is what we're dealing with here. And I think the only really true glory on this earth happens is found by following Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the only true honor, true satisfaction, and true happiness that you will have on this earth is by following Jesus Christ, following Him, setting Him as the example of your life, as the role model of your life, and as the hero of your life who has already done it and I, in my opinion, is still plodding forward on our behalf. So, and guess what? If God wants you to receive honor, glory, wealth, authority, position on this earth, He will give it to you. He will give it to you. So many people shortcut the plan of God because that's their call, maybe, but they want all the other worldly things without handling the perseverance aspect, without responding to the call. Guess what? If God wants you to have those things, if those are in His plan for you, He will give you those things. That's another comforting thing of God's plan. He understands what you desire, and He sees what you put your priorities on, and He understands that. So, another thing to keep in mind about Galatians 6:9 is, look at the second half of this. It says, for in due time we will reap if we do not give up. If we do not give up. There is an encouragement that comes to every one of us for maintaining the path that you're on. There's something to look forward to at all times in God's plan. I say that all the time. But there is. All the time there's something to look forward to. And it's no different here when you're going through testing, going through persecution maybe in the plan of God. There's an aspect of doing what you're doing, and there's something to look forward to about it. Not only now, but also in the future, as we'll see. The word used here, it says, the word is reap, and it's describing the reaping of a harvest. Figuratively, of course. And it means to obtain a return, as in rewards. To obtain something for the work done. And this is referring to a result of your effort to persevere while on this earth. That's what this is referring to. So, I would say instead of choosing to give up, we should choose to take advantage of what this verse is saying and to glorify God. To maintain course. To maintain course is what this is telling us. Not to mention, there's something to look forward to here. So let's look at a few verses that have to do with what this verse is telling us, because this verse is kind of introducing us to perseverance. It's talking about not losing heart and doing what is good as a Christian. And then it's looking forward to the reward if we don't give up. Don't give up. So many Christians haven't made it this far because they haven't even started. Or they make it to a certain point and they stop because the pressure gets overwhelming. It gets to be too much, so they call it quits. Most likely because they're not growing in concordance with how much they need to be, right? You got to have spiritual growth if you're going to do anything as far as God's plan is concerned for your life. So let's move to James 1:12 is where I want to take us next. So, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So here's the word persevere right here in this verse. You can see it. It's hupomone or hupomeno. And it means to stay in a place beyond an expected point of time. To remain, to stay behind while others go away, to maintain a belief or course of action in the face of opposition is what perseverance means. To stand one's ground, to hold out, or to endure. We can understand that. We can all understand those words, what that means. To stand your ground in the face of opposition. That's essentially what you're doing as a Christian. You're going not only against the grain of your thought process, but you're going against the grain as far as people are concerned. The majority are not like-minded thinking Christians. You are the minority in the world, right? So, this is the word. And, you know, Jesus, you could say, maintained his belief. He maintained his course of action, all in the face of opposition. The whole time he was being opposed, at least we know for sure, by Satan. But there were so many people like the Pharisees, or people like the Pharisees that opposed Jesus and should have been with him, but they were in opposition to him. So we've got a good example of what perseverance looks like. If we need an example, we have one, because Jesus had opposition from ground zero all the way to the cross. He's clearly an example. He definitely stayed past the point of expected time that most people would have said, I'm done. I'm done. And guess what? We all have been there. When we say, I'm done, right? You're done. No, you're not done. Because you're still here. I'm still here. We're still trucking down this trail. And see, what happens is you may start to lose motivation and lose heart with the spiritual life. But then again, that big picture pops into reality. It's not about me. It's not about you. There's a much, much bigger divine spiritual picture that's happening through you. That was happening through Jesus Christ. There was a much bigger picture. The body of Christ concept is a lot bigger than we can ever imagine. The body of Christ is on the earth and it's working through you. It's working through individuals. And if you think about how a body works, it all has to function together. It has to be in unison. It has to be a unity, like-mindedness, so Christ can take action through you. That's how it works. He doesn't come with a big arm from heaven. It happens through you. It happens through believers in Jesus Christ, how God's plan moves forward through the body, through the body. So to lose heart is to step outside of the body and hinder the body, hinder the body. And we surely don't want to do that. We want to serve our part and do our part. And by expected point of time, I mean the standards of the world. If we're going to stay past an expected point of time or against all opposition, I'm referring to the world in that case. That's the opposition that we face. I mean, most people experience these things, pain and suffering, but receiving it for divine discipline because they have little to no spiritual life. Big difference there. There's a huge difference. I'm not talking about that kind of persevering. That's just suffering, I would say, for divine discipline that they're receiving. Persevering for the Christian is not only an honorable thing, but it's a thing that gives you return on the investment of persevering, is exactly what it does. At least that's what we're seeing the verses tell us. And most people, when they see adverse circumstances, they see them as something to get out of or to get away from. Actually, the Christian is called to stay in them. It's called to stay in them. The world, notice, the world will see adversity or painful circumstance, and they will immediately look for relief out of those circumstances. They will look to get out of the circumstances and do something else or go to somewhere different, right? Well, that should be a different mindset for the Christian, because this isn't our will. It's God's will that we're living by. And he wanted Jesus Christ to stay in the suffering, to stay in the pain, to stay on the same course of action that he was on. Even though, you know, it didn't look the most attractive at the time he was about to partake in what he was about to partake in. We just saw the verse that he was telling, asking the Father to remove this cup. So don't think about it every time things get difficult. We have to jump out of those difficult situations. You got to think about things differently. These are times of temptations. They're times of testing that we have to take very seriously. And we have to take a different kind of mindset on. We have to have a different take on it. Because if we step aside every time God, the pressure comes in your life, you're bypassing the great benefit that God is trying to show you. I truly believe that. And that's what the verses are telling us here. I guess you could say, don't be a spiritual snowbird. Don't keep jumping from circumstance to circumstance just because that circumstance is better. You can't do that. You can't grow at all if you're moving from. That's what the world does, though. Too much pressure in the job, change jobs. Too much adversity in the church, change churches. Too much pressure in the marriage, change husband, change wife. You see what I mean? That's the kind of change that I'm referring to. Nowadays, people change at the drop of a hat. When the pressure comes on, they just leave. They move. They divorce. They're out of here, right? And this younger generation is worse than anybody about changing. Rotating, looking for something, the perfect job, the perfect boss, the perfect pay, the perfect everything. They're not going to find it. They're not going to find it. But what I'm telling you is that the Christian is called to persevere within those circumstances that you find yourself in. And the reason why that's important is because it keeps you from jumping ship out of something that you should be staying in. Should be staying in. It's really easy to jump ship. No one's forcing you to stay and continue in what you're doing and where God has you. We could all move. We could all change churches. We could all do whatever we want to do within our own will. Nothing is technically holding us and keeping us from doing that. But at the same time, there's a lot of prayer and a lot of growth that has to go into those decisions. And if you feel like God is not calling you to do those things, reality check. That means you don't do them. You don't do them. Oh, well, God spoke to me and told me to do this. Really? How many times have you heard that? Almost like it's confirmation for them to do whatever they want to do. Oh, God called me to Alaska and he called me to just live on the land and start my own church. He spoke to me and told me that. Really? I mean, come on. Spiritual snowbird. Just moving from circumstance to circumstance and looking for something that is not there. It's not there. Not there. So you're not called to be a spiritual snowbird. And Jesus definitely was not that. Or he would not have provided our salvation. He wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have done it. There is a calling. So, because his circumstances were not conducive to staying. And neither are yours going to be, by the way. Your circumstances are not going to be conducive with staying in the circumstances. You got to realize that. Because every one of us are going to get discouraged and want to jump ship. I don't care which circumstances it is. You're going to want to jump ship. But remember, look what this verse says. It says, I think Jesus obviously understood this concept, right? And so did James. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Blessed. There's something to look forward to there. The term under trial means exactly what it says here. It means a test, a temptation, or an attempt to make one do something wrong or to make a wrong decision. So blessed is the man who perseveres under those circumstances. In other words, there's always a temptation to make a wrong decision or to get out or to choose a different way other than God's will for your life. But to beat that test, you reject those wrong decisions and you choose for God and on the behalf of God and as unto the Lord and make all your decisions. Isn't that what, I think that's what persevering is all about. And isn't that what all tests are really about? They're really to test if you're going to make a right decision. That's what testing is all about. It's not about making a wrong decision by stepping out of the test. Testing and adversity, temptation, are designed to see if you are going to make a wrong choice or a right choice. That's what they're designed for. That's what God is checking on. That's what the test, that's what the exam is about. They're growing. They have the information. Let's see what they do with it. Let's see what they do with it. Are they going to make a right decision? Are they going to give that problem to me? Are they going to do it in the filling of the Holy Spirit? Or they're just going to try to go at it full speed on their own and they're just going to say, I can't do this. I'm going to give up. I'm going to lose heart and I'm just going to tap out. Well, we'll see. Let's see what happens. I know they've been in church. Let's see what happens. Just saying. But that's really what tests are all about. To see if you're going to make a right decision and choose to do it in God's power. To choose to do it in God's power. God's waiting on you to be filled with the Spirit at every moment of your life. Because when we're out of that filling of the Holy Spirit, we're not making right decisions. Well, if we're in the midst of a test and we're not making right decisions, then we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And that goes back to confession and forgiveness, right? Confession and forgiveness. So anyways, let's look at what we have to look forward to in these verses, because I think these are telling us a lot here. I see blessed already right off the bat. That's something to look forward to. This word blessed here is the Greek word makarios, and it pertains to being, listen to this, fortunate or happy in the circumstance because of receiving God's favor and provision. Wow. Did you hear that? Let me read that again. This word blessed pertains to being fortunate or happy in the circumstances because of receiving God's favor and provisions. And I would say because of you realizing the provision and grace that you're receiving in the circumstance, in the adversity. That's happiness. See, blessings automatically mean happiness because you're able to see the blessing. You're able to see what God is doing. You're able to see everything because there's an understanding that comes with the blessing. Well, here we're talking about a trial, a test, something that you go through, something that you're experiencing. And what I love about this word is a couple things. Is that first, there's real happiness associated with the blessing. Real, real. This is the one that everybody's looking for. This is the happiness that the whole world is searching for. Real happiness is tied to blessings right here. That's exciting to me. Real happiness. Because remember, it's really an understanding, almost like a realization of what God is doing where you are. It's not looking outside the box for something else. It's realizing it and understanding what's here in the suffering, in the test. And the second thing that I liked about this word is that happiness isn't derived from the circumstances or anything in this world. Did you hear the definition? It says it's associated with receiving God's favor and provision. That's what the happiness is derived from. It's derived from you realizing God's provision, and it says even favor that He's giving you within the suffering that you're in. Well, it's so easy to just miss that. If we're not growing, if we're not learning, if we're not doing it in the power of God and realizing that He is getting us through that situation on His own, and He's giving us what we need within the circumstances to not only get through it, but to be successful in it. In it. That's what He does. I would say that's grace. This is looking like grace to me. When you tell me words like provision and favor, we're talking about grace. Remember, your grace is sufficient for thee. We got to begin to think like that and see that God provides grace even in the circumstance where we think, well, there's no grace in this circumstance. It can't be. No, there is grace. He knows what's happening. He knows that you've been put to the fire. He knows how much your human will can handle. He knows where your tipping point is. It's a test. It's a test. He's trying to get to see, are you going to tip? Are you going to decide for something else? Are you going to take the shortcut? Are you looking to turn the stones into bread? Maybe, maybe not. It's up to each individual person. I'm talking about that quick solution, right? Or do we persevere, as the verse is telling us, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. So this word blessed is a good word, and there's happiness associated with this word. And what's interesting is it happens in trial. In trials. Wow, how is that possible? Well, that's what it says. That's what it says. You know, I was thinking about this, and you think about what a truly happy person is and looks like. A truly happy person is completely and totally satisfied. Satisfied. That's exactly what this verse is telling us. Realizing the favor and the provisions of God means that you are completely understanding and satisfied in the place that you are, in the circumstances that you're in, with who you're in it with, in the house that you have it with, and the location that you are on this earth, in the state that you are, blah, 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 blah. You get the idea? Everything is in place to enjoy the blessings that this is talking about. You're in the place right now to enjoy them. And also, a truly happy person is one that is satisfied in something that totally fulfills them. Completely and totally fulfills them. Well, that's what everyone's searching for. That fulfillment. But it never lasts. So it leads them on a wild goose chase to look for it again. This is total and complete fulfillment right here. Satisfaction in seeing that God has sufficiently supplied you within the circumstances that you're in. He has. You may say, no, He didn't. And I'll say, yes, He did. Yes, He did. So the only way to enjoy this happiness, and by the way, this is a happiness that comes from God. That's the only place that it can come from, because it's from realizing what He has given you within the trial. The only way to enjoy this is to be able to bask in the favor that He has given you. In other words, understand it. It's a learning process, right? We have so many verses that talk about, I've learned how to do this. I've learned how to do that. I've learned. This is no different. We've got to learn and understand that God is not taking a break. He's not off while you're persevering under trial. He's in you. He's that close to you. He's in you. And so if that's not close enough for you, I don't know what is, because that is intimacy. And that is fellowship, by the way. And fellowship is one of the main things, I think, that you can understand where the provision comes from. Because if God is working through your life, each and every person here, you can not only see the work of God in your circumstances, but you can understand that there's absolutely nothing that you have to worry about that you're going to need that you won't have. Nothing. Nothing. Now that's a heck of a way to persevere. You know, it almost is like perseverance takes on a new definition after that point. If you've got if you're realizing the favor and the provision of God, is it really persevering? Well, it is, because you're still within the moment of suffering within a human body. But at the same time, there is a satisfaction, a fulfillment that goes along with this trial and this suffering. Jesus experienced it. He did. He wasn't worried that he couldn't get through it. He just said, "Father, will you remove this cup from me?" He was asking to move the great burden of what he was up against. And you know, we can understand that. Dying on a cross is so big that we can understand removing, asking. Shoot, yeah, I would certainly ask. I would have probably asked more times than that in 33 years, but he asked that one time. And it was just right before. Notice how far he made it? He made it that before he even asked. And then he fell back on his, finally said, "Not my will." That was the conclusion. He said, "Not mine, it's the Father's that has to be done." So the only way we're going to enjoy this is we have to consistently learn and grow up. That's the only way we're going to do this, because I feel like this, we're all in this together, and we're all at a point where we have to begin to get good at persevering. We've got to begin to get good at persevering. We're all in this fight together. We're all in this growth together. We all have issues and difficulties and circumstances that we're all dealing with. Even though it's not, we're not all calling each other on the phone, "What did you deal with? What did you deal with?" It's testing. That's all that matters. You're being tested. You're going to be tested. And God has given us the means to be able to handle the testing, because he says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial." And that's just one little bitty phrase that there is some hope and excitement, something to look forward to. Not in the future. This is talking about right now. Right now. Right now. So I would say continue to go in the direction that you're going, because understanding that there isn't a problem or a difficult circumstance that you can't get through may take some time for all of us. You know, that's just not something that comes naturally for us, being in the position of a limited human being. We have to completely grow spiritually and reverse our mind to know and understand that God is going to work the circumstance out no matter what. And not only work it out, but give us what we need in the circumstance. So I think this is also knowing and understanding that we will always have the opportunity to make it through any circumstance or test in your life successfully. That's the option that you have as an individual. God has given us the framework. He's given us all the means, the resources, and the things that we are to take advantage of, but do we take advantage of it? I don't know. That's up to you and me, right? Do we do that? So there is an understanding that comes obviously with blessings. That's all I'm telling you. You know, a blessing is not something that you get and don't realize that it's a blessing, at least as far as enjoying the blessing goes. You can't enjoy a blessing unless you truly understand, first of all, where it's from. Next is the capacity to enjoy what you've been given, or what God has provided, or what God is doing in your life. If you can't